Well, we welcome our brother again in the Lord's great name. I trust the Lord will richly bless him tonight as he ministers God's word. God bless you.
Can we turn together to Colossians chapter 1 for our scripture reading? Turning to Colossians chapter 1 and commencing to read together at verse 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his inspired word to all of our hearts. Shall we unite together in prayer? Our God and our Father, we thank you for the precious word of the Lord. We thank you this is God's revelation to mankind. And we pray, O God, that you'll come in these moments by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you will apply the truth of your word. And O God, may you deal with each one in this church as you see the needs. And Lord, may there be an openness to the inflow of grace and power of God. So Lord, we ask tonight that you would have your way in this place and glorify your wonderful name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us tonight to just focus our attention on the theme of the gospel. Paul here is writing to the church at Colossae. At this time there was much confusion that was invading the church. It was a heresy that denied the supremacy and the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Gnosticism was moving in and attacking the foundations of their faith. And so Paul is writing into this situation and seeking to focus the people on the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he does that, he focuses them on the gospel and how the gospel had changed their lives. And we find that in these first verses that we've read together of this letter. Here Paul is giving signposts to the church in Colossae and pointing them in the right direction. You know, Paul the Apostle was one who loved the gospel. We read there in Romans 1:16 where he could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. When Paul wrote the Galatian letter, again, the gospel and the truth was under attack, where it was being added to, and there was teaching that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised if they were to be true believers. And again, Paul wrote into that situation and preserved the gospel. And tonight, friends, we have the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Friends, this is a wonderful message that has been given to us tonight. The gospel, the good news, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. As we consider the gospel here, I want us to think first of all of heralding the gospel. We find here in verse 6, it says, which is come unto you just as in all the world. Again in verse 23 of Colossians chapter 1, which was preached to every creature. Now here in verse 7, we read of Epaphras. He had been converted and he had gone back to his own people at Colossae and shared the thrilling news with his relatives and with his friends. This great gospel message. It would have been quite easy for Epaphras to have stayed with Paul in Ephesus where wonderful things were happening. But here we find that he went back to his own people and he shared this wonderful message You could say he was a home missionary. He went to his own people and he shared this wonderful truth. You see, my friends, there was the heralding of the gospel. The gospel had come to these people and there were those who had preached this wonderful truth. We discover here that this proclamation concerned the truth. You know, friends, the gospel of Christ is nothing less than the truth. And here in verse 5, Paul, he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." There are many messages and ideas that are true, but only God's word can be called truth. And here Paul the Apostle is laying it clearly before the people. You have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We live in a postmodern society and we're told that there is no absolute truth anymore. My friends, God's word is truth. Communism did its best to destroy the truth of God's word. They burned the Bible, they discarded the Bible. I was at a conference a few years ago and there was a young man there from Russia called Eugene, a young pastor. And he stood at that conference and he said, "I've got something that's very, very precious because I have got my grandfather's Bible." And then he went on to share with us, he said, "It's just not my grandfather's Bible, but it's my grandfather's handwritten Bible." He shared with us how during the communist regime, how his grandfather sat at his little radio every day. Slavic Gospel Association and other organizations were beaming out the gospel across the airwaves. And they were reading the word of God every day. And Eugene's grandfather, he sat and he wrote down God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Because, my friends, God's word is truth. It is the word of God. That dear man, he realized it was God's word and he took time to write it down. Oh, friends, we have got the word of God. How blessed we are. The word of God that contains the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful truth. And the word of truth, Paul says here, is for the whole world, he says here in verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. Dr. Walter Wilson would quote John chapter 3 and verse 16. And then he would ask, if you were to give a gift that would be suitable for the whole world, what would you give? He then listed several possibilities and showed how these gifts could not suit everybody. Books, many people cannot read. Food, people eat different types of food in different parts of the world. Clothing, well, climates are different. Money, not every culture makes use of money. And he came to the logical conclusion that only the gospel with the gift of eternal life was suitable for the whole world. My friends, he was right. My friends, the gospel is suitable for the whole world. The gospel can be heralded to every creature which is under heaven. My friends, that's the church's desire. That's the great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. My friends, heralding the gospel, this is our great responsibility. God has given us the great truth of his word. My friends, we must tell it. We must gossip it. We must herald it. We must preach it. We must share it. This is truth. My friends, people, they need to hear this great message of the gospel. You see, my friends, there is the heralding of the gospel. But then secondly, we notice hearing the gospel. Because here in verse 5, we read in the latter part, we read, "Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Again, in the latter part of verse 6, "Since the day you heard it and understood." In verse 23, "that you have heard." You see, my friends, there is the heralding of the gospel, but then there is the hearing the gospel. For these people at Colossae, not only had they heard it, not only had it been heralded to them, but my friends, they had heard it in the inner ear of their soul, and they responded, and they came to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, in every church, there are different types of hearers. The Lord Jesus spoke of the hearers, didn't he? There in Matthew chapter 13, he spoke of the sower and of the seed, and he said he went out and he sowed the seed. And some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and snatched away and took away the seed because there was no earth there. You see, my friends, that's a type of person who comes and goes from the house of God. Oh, the gospel doesn't really reach the inner part of their soul. They don't really hear it in the inner soul, but they come and go and it's snatched away and it's not really impacting on their lives. Then Jesus spoke of a second hearer. He spoke of the stony ground, the rocky ground, where there was not much earth and the seed was sown, and the word of God says that the sun was shining and it sprung up very quickly, but with the heat of the sun it was scorched and it disappeared. There was no root there. There was nothing there. You know, friends, that describes a hearer, doesn't it, my dear friends? One maybe that's emotionally touched or stirred, but there's no real experience there. There's no real depth, and nothing has really, really happened. Maybe, dear friend, you look back to a time where you said a prayer or you did something, but you never really got through to God. You see, my friends, when we get saved, when we're born again of the Spirit of God, it's a real experience. It's not like making a decision tomorrow morning, like going down to the local library here in Market Hill and deciding to become a member of the local library. It'll not change your life. My friends, when you decide to follow Jesus, it changes the life. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm sure, friends, you hear it around today. I became a Christian, but I just lived and I always did the things and I continue to do the things that I always did. My friends, I don't find that in God's word. My friends, when a man meets with Jesus, his life is changed. He's born again of the Spirit of God. Christ has come to live within us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. My friends, it's a miracle from heaven. God is still changing lives. Then Jesus spoke of another ground, the thorny ground, and the word of God says that it was choked. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. My friends, there are so many things to choke God's word. But then Jesus spoke of the good ground. He said, some bringeth forth 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And then Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear it in the inner ear of a soul. You know, my dear friends, there is the hurling the gospel, but there is the hearing the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There was a dear brother serving the Lord in Ukraine. And he said to us, you know, I'd like to do something practical. He was a pastor in a little village church. He said, I'd like to do something practical for the people. Do you think you could send out some funds so that I could get a dental chair and some dental treatment? So we sent out the funds and he got some dental treatment. He put it in a little room beside his house and he started to treat people's teeth. Pastor in Ukraine, he said to me, you know, it's a good way to evangelize when you have people lying on their back with their mouth open. You can preach away and they can't talk back. But, you know, friends, it was a good way to evangelize. A lady came to that room one day. She wanted a set of dentures made for her parents. Alexei didn't waste any time in sharing the gospel with that dear woman. And that lady had never heard the gospel before and she came to faith in Jesus Christ. She went back to her village where there was no believers in the village. There were no believers in her family. And she invited Alexei to come and to preach the word of God every week. And she gathered the people in and people got converted. They were hearing the gospel in the inner ear of their soul. And they were responding and coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And my friends, in that village tonight, there's a church. You know, dear friends, tonight there's the hearing the gospel. But thirdly, there's the hope of the gospel. We find here in verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Again in verse 23, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Then in verse 27, Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. My dear friends, tonight there is a wonderful hope in the gospel. You see, my friends, this is not a hope so. We are not just hoping that everything will work out at the end, but my friends, there's a certainty in the gospel tonight. Christ in you, the hope of glory. My friends, it's going to be glory for all eternity. I'm sure you've noticed, dear friends, that in God's word, the Bible describing heaven tells us more what will not be there than what will be there. Our finite minds could not take in the wonder and the glory of that place called heaven, but the Bible tells us that there'll be no death there. There'll be no crying there. There'll be no night there. There'll be no sorrow there. My friends, the Bible tells me that the former things will have passed away. My friends, that's why it's going to be glory. And dear friends, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And my friends, this is the question tonight. Is Christ in you tonight? Have you ever come as a sinner to Jesus? Have you repented of your sin and put your faith alone in Jesus Christ? I'm so glad for that night in my life at 9 years of age when I came as a sinner. And I cried to God that God would save me. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. My memories of my home is listening to my parents praying that God would save us. They were farmers, but they loved the Lord. When they sent us four boys off to bed, we didn't all of us do what we were told. But when they thought we were in bed, they were on their knees downstairs, and we would lie at the top of the stairs and we would listen to a mother and father pleading with God. Brought up in a home like that didn't make me a Christian, friends. But I had to come to that place myself and repent of my sin and trust Jesus Christ. And friends, that night Christ came into my life, and tonight I can say Christ in me, the hope of glory. Friends, this is a wonderful assurance to have. God's word says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. My friends, tomorrow is not ours to depend on. The reality is, my dear friends, tonight that the breath that's in our body is ours now, but the next one belongs to God. And then it's eternity. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. My friends, there's a great hope in the gospel. You see, that Orthodox lady on the airplane, she said, what we need is light and hope. What you need, dear friend, in this service is, it's light and it's hope. And tonight you'll find it in Jesus. This is wonderful. This is a certainty. And I trust, dear friends, that you've got it tonight. That you have heard the gospel in the inner ear of your soul. You have come to that place of seeking the Lord while he may be found, and calling upon him while he is near. My friends, there's hope in the gospel. You see, my friends, there's herald in the gospel, here in the gospel, hope in the gospel, and then harvest of the gospel. There in verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. It bringeth forth fruit. My friends, there is a harvest from the gospel. The gospel seeds have been sown. Thank God, there is a harvest. Maybe tonight you're going to be part of that spiritual harvest. Maybe tonight will be the night when you will seek Christ as your Savior. be part of this glorious harvest, the harvest of the gospel. Paul writing here, he could say all over the world, this gospel is producing fruit. My friends, it's wonderful that all over the world today, the gospel has been producing fruit and people have been finding Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that thrill your hearts? God is building His church. My friends, there's a harvest from the gospel. Will you be part of it? Will you leave this church and be able to say, Christ in me, the hope of glory? May God bless His word to our hearts. We thank Him for the gospel tonight. May you find this great hope and be saved by His matchless grace. May God bless His word to each one. Amen.